welcome to Mysterious Minis, the mini episodes for A Galaxy Not So Far Away, a Mysterious Galaxy podcast. I'm your host, Becca.
And I'm Gary.
And we're here like we are every week to talk to you guys about new events at the store and new releases in the world of books. And I think this is our last week of me doing Pride picks.
No, it's actually, I double checked because I wasn't sure.
Next we have one next
Tuesday.
Week.
Next Tuesday is the last Tuesday of the month.
Oh no, that means I have to do planning.
Sorry.
Oh, it's okay.
Hold on.
So I know that you had said that we had multiple events this week, but I think we only have one because the other event was yesterday.
No, we've got Wait, hold on. Nope, that's not true. We have an event. We have an event tomorrow, and we have an event on Monday the 29th, which is before we meet again for the minisodes.
That is fair. That's true.
I did the same thing you did. we've got two events, and then Dungeons and Dragons, which I harp every week. Hey, we do Dungeons and Dragons, but
it's every week.
It's every week, so I'm not going to put like special attention on that. They do those at 4:30. I think they're planning on setting up another table because a lot of new people have joined since quarantine's happened, which is great. I'm excited about that. I should like engage with what they're doing, but I usually do other stuff on Sundays. So
that is fair. Yeah, Sundays are usually really busy for me too.
Yeah. So also, I don't know how long their like campaigns are. I think they were short when they were in the store, but I wonder if their sessions are a lot longer now. I should ask some of the DMs that do that.
I guess if you guys are interested, you can go find out for yourselves.
Yeah, I include the link in every minisode, so y'all can find it. But tomorrow, June 24th, at 7 o'clock, we have a virtual event with Bethany C. Morrow. She is the author of A Song Below Water, which we talked about
a couple weeks ago.
I think it was 2 weeks ago. Yeah, which looks amazing, and I think Jenny has been reading it and has really enjoyed it, so I'm looking forward to her review. I don't know if that's gone up on the site yet. I want to keep an eye out. But she's going to be doing an event with us on Facebook. She's in conversation with Danielle Clayton, and that should be a good time. So that's going to be tomorrow, 7 o'clock Facebook live event, I think is how we've been doing that. And then next week, on Monday the 29th, we have an Instagram takeover that I think just goes on all day. And then the actual like virtual event is happening at 7 p.m. with Richard Farrell, who is the author of a book, The Flying Woman, which is out today.
Yeah, basically the Instagram takeovers are for like, I would say, basically from whenever they get up and they want to start until it's showtime.
Yeah, pretty much. And a lot of those are really great. Like the thing that I really like about the Instagram takeovers that have the event at the end is that a lot of people have been like engaging with their stuff throughout the day. And some of those authors do a lot of like really fascinating, like behind the scenes stuff, which means that the questions that come out
during the event
are great.
The questions that come after the Instagram takeovers are always so much more like in depth and thoughtful because it feels like the fans get to like, you know, get to know the author a little bit more intimately.
Yeah. Before like sitting down, because usually what happens is like, I haven't been able to engage with all the events live as they've been happening and see all the questions, but like, I know from being at the store, a lot of the times when a customer comes in for an event for an author, like a lot of the questions end up being the same kinds of questions. What inspired this? Like,
yeah.
Like, did you have any particular books that influenced you writing this book? Are you a pantser or a plotter? Like, that's a question we get all the time. I think every author has heard that question. Which I think spending the day on Instagram and being able to do like a lot of the other like more intimate stuff makes those questions a little bit more nuanced in a way that's fascinating. Those events are always the best ones, in my opinion.
No, I totally agree. And like, I really like the Instagram takeovers because I'm not someone who necessarily has like that time in my schedule to do like the Facebook Live events. But I think the Instagram takeovers are great because even if you don't see it like the second it goes up, like it's still there for 24 hours. So you get to like, you know, experience it at your own pace, which I really like.
I mean, we were literally just talking about this, like, off mic, but I Instagram is the platform I check the least as far as social media stuff goes. But I'll still check in, like, every day or every other day and just, like, go through stories of people that I love, that I follow. And I usually, like, am able to engage with so much more that way. So, like, a lot of the Instagram
stuff. Yeah, I would say
that
I usually post on my story, like, way more often than I do my actual feed on Instagram.
Yeah, I don't spend much time, like, scrolling through the feed at all, but, like, I'll check stories of, like, the store and of, like, you and the other booksellers and of, like, friends that I know through other, just through life, you know?
That makes sense.
Friends that I have that aren't booksellers.
You guys heard it here first. Gary has friends that he does not work with.
They're friends that I used to work with most of the time, so that's how life goes.
Honestly.
So yeah, Richard Farrell's coming to talk about his new book, The Falling Woman, which comes out today. It is a thriller, action adventure. It looks like there was a passenger jet airplane crash, a mid-air explosion that happened, that became, it says, but soon she, one person may have survived the mid-air explosion of a passenger jet on a cross-country course from Washington, D.C. to San Francisco. But soon she becomes a media sensation when the falling woman, as the press dubs her, is said to have been taken to a Wichita hospital and then have vanished without a trace. So it's a mystery about, like, finding this woman and figuring out what happened and what was the truth of this disaster and all that good mystery shenanigans.
You know I love a good thriller.
Yeah. It sounds intense.
Yeah.
The cover of this one gives me real vertigo because it's, like, looking out the window over the, like, of the plane. Like, out
oh,
the
window. Oh, I love it!
Down the ground. And, like, I don't... I know that this is an image that I'm looking at, but I have such... a fear of heights that, like, just looking at this cover makes my palms sweat. Like, it's
The only way that I can experience, like, heights related things is through, like, videos and images.
Yeah. No, yeah. I definitely, like, I've been to places, like, I'm one of those people that, like, just going somewhere high up, even if I know I'm secure, you're in a building with windows, or you're, like, on a ledge at some place. I don't
know. I completely understand. High.
But I get such a, like, I can feel the ground pulling me in a way that, like, is...
We gotta stop talking about this. I live on the second story, and I try not to think about it all the time.
No, I apologize. I didn't mean to bring you into my own stress over this cover.
It is okay.
But yes, that's gonna be at 7 o'clock tonight. Tomorrow night.
7 o'clock.
No.
No, it's next Monday. I was like, wait a minute.
That's going to be next Monday at 7 o'clock.
All right, we've really fudged this one up, so I think that we should move on to new releases.
Let's move on to new releases. I'll let you go first, because I've been talking for a while about events.
All right. My first book that came out today that I want to tell you guys about is Take a Hint, Danny Brown. It's the second in series following Get a Life, Chloe Brown by Talia Hibbert. This book's been on a lot of lists, like a lot of radars, like Oprah, Bustle, BuzzFeed, they've all been talking about it. It's a romance book. It follows Danica, or Danny, as she is known in the story, Danny Brown. She is the type of chick, you know, you see this a lot in romance, but I never get tired of it, which is she knows exactly what she wants in her professional and academic life. But when it comes to romance, she's completely more than over it. After countless attempts with partners of different genders and ages and what have you, Danny decides that she just wants the ideal friend with benefits, just like the perfect hot person to hook up with and nothing else. And... of course, right on cue with romance, she meets a super hunky security guard at her job. His name is Zafir Ansari, and he ends up rescuing her from, like, a fire drill gone wrong situation. Somebody records the incident, and it goes viral, and people all over the internet are, like, falling in love with them as a pair and shipping them. And
don't ship real people.
Right? Even if it's in this sense, don't do that.
Anyway, go on.
And, sorry, my screen went dark. And it puts them both in a very surprising position where Zafir asks Danny to pretend that they're an item to help him. He raise awareness for, he like runs a children's athletic charity. And like,
this all sounds so like wholesome. This should be like a Lifetime movie.
But I love it because it's like all Danny wants is to seduce him, but he's like a hopeless romantic and he is just hell-bent on changing her mind. And to
and
me,
he's just a good dude. He runs a charity. Like, come on.
It literally is a book that elevates the trope of too busy working for love in a way that like we haven't really seen that much of. And sure. I think it's going to make it a really fun and refreshing romance read for the summer.
Nice. That sounds awesome.
Right? And the cover is so cute. The third in series is either already announced or also coming out soon. Because when I was looking at the release, it had a third book already listed. So that's exciting.
That's awesome. My first one I picked was A Declaration of the Rights of Magicians by H.G. Perry.
I love that title.
It's got a great title. It's got a great cover. It's the first in a series called The Shadow Histories. And yo, it's like the Age of Enlightenment, like revolutionary France with magic.
Nice.
Like, I don't want to read the whole description, but this sounds so cool. It's like magical political movements. They're talking about a weather mage that's leading a group of slaves from Haiti in their fight for freedom. They're trying
really
to
cool.
legalize magic use among commoners so that it's not reserved for only the people who are in political positions. It sounds rad.
This sounds maybe like it's metaphorical for wealth redistribution.
It literally says, but amidst the upheaval of the early modern world, there is an unknown force inciting all humans and civilization to violent conflict. And it will require the combined efforts of revolutionaries, magicians, and abolitionists to unmask this hidden enemy before the whole world falls to darkness and chaos.
I know that I'm not, that this is not set in Greece, but when you said an unseen, like, force driving them to, like, violence, I was like, no, that's just Ares.
I wouldn't be surprised if they, like, it does take place in France, right? So, like, one of the main necromancers is Robespierre, the weather mage who's leading the slaves is Toussaint Overture.
Oh my god, these names are amazing.
Yeah. It sounds great. I am very excited for this one.
I'm so down.
Yeah, this is right up my alley. It's weird because I'm usually not a fan of... I guess this is like more historical fiction than... urban fantasy, right?
Yeah.
Urban fantasy feels like it's got a very grounded in the contemporary, which also might not exactly be true because I don't know that Dresden Files takes place in like the contemporary world necessarily either. But I feel like that's one that's like the pillar of urban fantasy.
Yeah,
not really my jam. I'm not really a fan of like here's a real world place and we're just gonna make it magical. It's a secret magic, but everyone actually is involved. It doesn't sound exciting.
I know you have very specific opinions about magic and how it exists in the world.
It's very complicated. I don't really understand why they're so complicated. I have very complicated feelings about magic.
I know. And that all episode, of our listeners know,
that,
too.
That episode has still not aired, actually.
Oh, no. Oh, you guys are in for a treat.
That'll happen eventually, probably sometime next month.
I'm so
yet.
Excited.
Yeah, so that should be fun when it eventually comes out. But, yeah, very complicated feelings about magic. But this sounds great. This sounds right up my alley. I'm more interested, maybe because it feels more historical, it's easier for me to be like, oh, magic exists, but it's also, like, part of the political structure. I think the problem I have with, like, urban fantasy is it makes me think a lot of, shows like Vampire Diaries where, like, oh, there's just a couple people in this town that have magic. And then within, like, a season or two, everybody's involved. And it's like, what was the secret? Why was it secret?
Oh my God. Well, Drive my next book that I'm going to talk about is, it's set not too far away. I believe this one is set in England. It is Deadly Curious by Cindy Ansey. Recommended for fans of Agatha Christie and Carrie Maniscalco. It's described as Jane Austen-esque with a touch of murder.
Ooh.
Yeah, right? The book is set in 1834, where we meet Sophia Thompson, and she wants nothing more than to join an elite guard of detectives known as the Bow Street Runners, but the likelihood of that is slim to none. Not surprising to anyone, it's obviously considered an unladylike desired profession. And also shocking to no one, an 1800s detective group does not have any female members and is not really looking to add women to the group.
This cover,
it's not exactly. Oh yeah, the cover is gorgeous. She is hellbent on becoming a detective, right? And out of the blue comes an opportunity for her to prove her abilities and bring home something that proves to these other detectives that she has what it takes, because she receives an urgent letter from her cousin Daphne requesting that she come and look into the sudden death of Daphne's late brother. Mm. And with the help of a local policeman who's, you know, super charming, it notes that, so maybe there's some romance in here. She and the policeman begin to unravel the secrets holding the case together, and they find out that the murderer is a lot closer to them than they suspected. So it sounds like a very good Jane Austen-esque murder mystery.
Ooh, that sounds fun.
Yeah.
This cover's cool. It has a very, like, Whitechapel vibe. I say that because, like, when I was in high school, I did a couple of reports on Jack the Ripper stuff, and they always use this, like, smoky silhouette in the darkness.
Oh, yeah.
You can't make out who the figure is. Like, if you had told me this took place in, like, the 1890s and she was investigating serial murders, I would have been like, yeah, that makes sense.
Oh, I also absolutely went through an obsessive Jack the Ripper phase when I was in, like, late middle school, early high school.
Yeah, ninth grade, I had to do my first research paper for my English class on something from Victorian England, and I picked Jack the Ripper.
You were like, perfect!
I don't even remember how I ended up picking Jack the Ripper as a topic. Like, I think I didn't know what we were going to do. We went to the library, and I was like, hey, there's a book about a serial killer here.
Yeah, that's pretty easy to get attention.
Yeah, especially when you're like, you know, 13, 14, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
The next one I have is The Kingdom of Liars by Nick Martell. This is a debut fantasy, the first book from Nick Martell. I think it might be our Fantastic First. I don't know if that's true. I don't remember what our Fantastic First is this month. You would think I would know. It's the 23rd.
Hey, man, we're all tired here.
It is a story of secrets, rebellion, and murder that are shattering the Hollows, where magic costs memory to use, and the only son of the kingdom's despised traitor holds the truth. So the main character, Michael Kingman, is the son of a man who murdered the son of the king. And
complicated,
very complicated. It's very political. It opens on a scene in the courtroom talking about, like, whether or not his dad is guilty, and he gets branded as guilty for this thing.
Wow!
Before jumping forward, and I just as a fan of, like, epic fantasy, this is one that has been on my list for a long time. I have read a couple of the first chapters. I forgot it was out this month, so I have not finished it, but I have a copy of it, and it's been really enjoyable what I've read so far.
Nice.
The concept of, like, using memory to perform magical spells is rough. I don't know. I haven't gotten deep enough to understand, like, what that exchange is like.
I think it's really cool. I think it very much reminds me of, like, one of those, like, D&D rules where it's like, well, you can do this really cool thing, but it's gonna cost you.
Yeah. every time you use it, you're going to lose something.
And, I think that from what I understand about magic, you know, it sounds like it's just like one way to interpret that sort of general concept when it comes to magic. Like, it's always an exchange, right?
Yeah. 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 And the interesting thing is, like, now we're in this, this is the first of a series, I assume. So I don't know where this is going to go long term. And I have not finished this book, so I cannot speak to it. But the idea that only he has the knowledge of the truth, but memory is the price to pay for magic.
Yeah, that's insane.
Is an interesting, like, conflict of interest that I really want to, like, that I think would be fascinating to see if this series gets into, because, you know?
No, I absolutely agree. It's very much like, well, I can tell you guys, but then I won't remember. Oh, it's like when C-3PO has to speak in the Sith language, and then he's like, well, sorry, like, I'm happy to do it, but then I won't remember anything.
Yeah, except I don't know that Michael Kingman has an R2-D2 backing up his memory somewhere.
You know what? That is fair.
Spoilers, I guess. For
that was a really good out for that whole situation.
It was... I guess I still think it undercuts the importance of it, but that's a different conversation. What's your next book?
I could keep going.
I know, so could I. That's why we can't do this.
My next and last book that I'm going to be talking about is The Girl from Widow Hills by Megan Miranda. It's a psychological suspense novel. Shocking that I've chosen to talk about it, right?
Right. I'm glad I know what you're going to pick, because our picks are always so different.
Yeah.
Again, we should make clear, these aren't the only new books this week. These are just the ones we're highlighting. The description will have a whole bunch of other ones as well.
Oh, yeah.
But I told Becca, for people listening, I told Becca before we started, like, hey, pick a couple, and I'll pick a couple, and then we'll figure out, like, what to talk about. And you didn't pick any of the ones I picked, which is great.
It is great. Well, I avoided a lot of the sci-fi and fantasy titles because the LGBT recommendations for this week are going to be sci-fi and fantasy.
Also, that makes sense. Okay. Yeah, I'm excited to get to those, actually. So what's your last
one? Then stop talking so I can tell them about The Girl from Widow Hills.
I can make a really good, like, zipper noise.
Oh my god. The novel follows Arden Maynor as she navigates the mental strain of repressed childhood trauma from a stormy night in her early years where she went missing for days because she basically was sleepwalking and walked out of her house and the rain swept her away. Her mother ends up writing a best-selling novel about the incident, leaving Arden no possibility of escaping the terrifying trauma throughout her adolescence, especially when it comes to the anniversary of it. Now as an adult, Arden has moved away from her hometown and changed her name to Olivia, but the past keeps catching up with her. It's approaching the 20-year anniversary of her disappearance in the novel, and she becomes convinced that someone is watching her in her new town, and the stress of that causes her to start sleepwalking again. And she keeps waking up outside of her house or in different parts of her house, so she knows it's happening. And everything changes when she wakes up standing outside and looks down, and a dead body of a man that she personally knew in her hometown is at her feet. And then, once again, in spite of all of her best efforts to get away from it and remain, you know, in comfortable anonymity, she is once again the center of another breaking news cycle and just, like, back in the camera, basically.
This sounds rough.
Yeah, it sounds like a very intense book.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely.
But I love it.
I should read more psychological thrillers. I enjoy, like, watching that kind of movie every so often, but I don't put it enough in my rotation of, like, what I'm reading.
I like it because, I don't know why, but when I'm reading psychological thriller, it very much feels like I'm setting the pace. So, like, I don't have to feel like something is really stretched out. Like, if I want to know what's going to happen, I just have to read faster.
That makes sense. Okay, so my last one that I have for today is the newest book by Zen Cho, The Order of the Pure Moon Reflected in Water.
See, I almost chose this one. I almost did.
It's got a beautiful title. It's got a beautiful cover. It's about it's a found family fantasy that combines the vibrancy of old school martial arts movies with characters drawn from the margins of history. Like, this sounds great. I am a fan of like martial arts movies. I am a fan of like samurai stories and like stuff like that. The description says a bandit walks into a coffee house and it all goes downhill from there. I feel like that's all I need to read. Gwet Im, a young votary from the Order of the Pure Moon, joins up with an eclectic group of thieves, whether they like it or not, in order to protect a sacred object, and finds herself in a far more complicated situation than she could have ever imagined.
Wow. Like,
yes. Perfect. Great. Give it to me now.
I'm signed up. I'm ready.
Yeah. I'm actually really, like, upset to say that I don't think I've read any Zen Cho stuff, even though I have books of theirs. They did Sorcerer to the Crown and True King. They did... you know what? I think that... I thought that we had other books with a similar cover to this one. But... they're not showing up on the website when I click on Zen Cho's name. So this might be one that they just really sent us a bunch of like advanced copies of, because I'm pretty sure I have this book.
Yeah, that's so weird.
Oh, it's a Tor.com one. Yeah, so Tor.com does these really fantastic novellas, but they send us like copies and copies and copies, which is great for us because we can read and review stuff for the store. But also, I end up forgetting what's already out and what isn't. God, I love this cover so much. I'm such a fan of this kind of story. And because it's a Tor.com one, it's going to be relatively short compared to... it's 160 pages. This is something that you can, like, sit down and devour in an afternoon if you're committed to that story. If you can read like that, right?
I just really love that. Like, that's exactly the type of thing that I like. Is something that, yeah, I can just sit down and read in its entirety, because I feel like I get distracted really easily, and I pick up so many really good books, but then, yeah, life happens and gets in the way, like it always does.
The thing that I'm best at is if I'm given something, like if I find a show or a book or a game that's like short enough that I can engage with it like in one sitting or in a couple sittings and then be done, It is so much less of a burden on, like, my psychological state, I think.
I absolutely agree.
I think when I engage with stuff that's, like, really long or is going to take me a really long time to get through, I tend to abandon it before I finish not because I don't want to know where it's going, but because there's too many other things that call my attention as well.
No, I'm right there with you. Absolutely.
I don't know. I think it's the same thing with like reviewing books for the store, right? Like, you always want to review new titles, but you only have so much time. It takes so much time to engage with a book, to write a review. It's hard to like have a new review every week for something new coming out because I don't have that much time in my week.
Yeah, I really envy people that are able to read that quickly.
Yeah. I feel like I could do better, but...
I feel like everyone feels that way.
That's probably true, right? Every book... Every customer we've ever had come into the store has told me about how every reader I know has a to-be-read pile that they are ashamed that they can't get through. Like, I think all of us collectively understand that, hey, it takes a long time.
All right, speaking of time.
Yes.
I am going to move us along yet again.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
All right.
I'm excited for your picks this week.
Thank you. I'm excited too. So just for everyone listening, this is week 4 of my Pride picks for books to read. So this week we are doing science fiction and fantasy. I decided to do them both together because they're not two genres that I particularly read a lot of. And also, there's not enough weeks in the month for me to get through each genre, like, separate.
And also, we shelve sci-fi and fantasy together.
Exactly. There you go. All right, so starting off strong, I'm starting off with a book that I'm currently reading, which is Gideon the Ninth by Tamsin Muir. So this is the first book in the Locked Tomb trilogy, and it has literally been described as Daria in space. So, like, do I really have to say more? Like,
I haven't heard that description. That's great.
Right? Like, it is such a good description, and if that doesn't capture your interest, then, like, I don't understand. I don't understand. Like, stop. Full stop.
Yeah.
So the trilogy is about necromancy, swordplay, lesbians, and the main character is literally raised by, like, unfriendly, like, witch nuns and reanimated skeletons.
Great.
So Gideon no longer wants to continue on this current path of hers, knowing that it will eventually end in her being, like, a reanimated undead servant someday. And on the opposite side of it, there is Harrowhark. I'm not entirely sure how to say it correctly.
I think it's Harrow.
Okay, so Harrowhark. She is a bone witch, and she's in line to essentially become a lich, which is, like, an all-powerful servant of resurrection magic. But she can't achieve this without, like, the loyalty and protection of essentially someone with more brute strength than she has. And that's where Gideon comes in, because Gideon has a sword and a readiness to get the hell out of where she is. So I'm sure that you can guess from everything that I've said that they become an item.
I appreciate you giving me, like, so much, like, plot stuff for this, because I've heard, like, the sound bite, like, you should read this book, it's lesbian necromancers, and that's about, like, the extent of what it is. This sounds great.
Yeah, so literally it's, like, lesbian necromancers in space.
I
chose also to make it my first recommendation because it is a really beautiful balance of science fiction and fantasy, and it's just a must read for anyone that has a taste in gothic aesthetics, general witchery.
I think the sequel's out in a couple weeks. No, I think it's the first week of August. Harrow the Ninth comes out.
Then I have to read a hell of a lot faster.
It's coming. It's coming soon.
So I do just want to say that for this list, I think 3 of my 4 recommendations ended up being witchcraft adjacent.
Great.
I tried to avoid that, but my taste got the best of me.
Well, let's just you know.
It's just what I like.
Fantasy be like that.
The next book I'm recommending for you guys is These Witches Don't Burn by Isabel Sterling.
This is so good.
It is a young adult novel about a powerful elemental witch living in Salem, Massachusetts. She's a lesbian. And the powers come with a rule very in vain of, like, Sabrina the Teenage Witch sort of, like, vibe, where, like, the main character, Hannah, has to hide her powers from non-witches or risk losing them forever. She works at an amazing, like, little Wiccan shop called the Night Cauldron, selling, like, witchy items to tourists and local goths. And when she's not doing that, she's working really hard to avoid her ex-girlfriend, who is also an elemental witch, Veronica.
This sounds great.
Oh, yeah, I love it. It's lovers to enemies, and then from enemies back to lovers. Because when evidence of magic starts popping up like wildfire around Salem, and people start, like, and kind of like, oh, what's going on? Hannah's coven becomes skeptical of her theories about what's going on. So she has to turn to Veronica to team up and find what Hannah is convinced is a very dangerous and powerful blood witch causing the mayhem in their town.
Dang. This sounds really fun. I've heard people talk about this book, but I did not know enough. This is another one that I didn't know enough about it, and I didn't do the work. That sounds great.
It's all in the descriptions on our website. It's just I'm saying it with my own personal flowery language.
That's fair. I don't know. See, like, I think the thing is, like, I mean, I should make excuses for why I haven't read this book. There's a lot of books I should read that I haven't read.
We can't do this with every recommendation, Gary. We can't have this go around.
Stop.
The next book that I'm recommending, we're going to link below to a website that does carry it. We apparently don't carry it. But it is "O Human Star" by Blue Delaquante.
I do have a question about this one.
Yeah.
Do they have like physical print versions of this book?
I believe so.
This came up. I think that someone, I don't remember who it was.
The reason I'm recommending it is because our fellow bookseller Nick is the one that recommended it. And I know that this started as a webcomic, but I think it's in a physical copy now.
So from what I could tell, because I did try to do all the digging when I write the episode description to make sure these links are available. I went looking for this book through our distributor. I went looking through it through different publisher websites and couldn't find like the source for where the physical book comes from. It might have been like a limited one-off thing that they did. Like there's a couple webcomics that I know that are like that where they've either
started
books or they've done little imprints with places, but they're not books that are like printed in high enough quantity that we can get. But I think this webcomic is still available. So that's the link that I included in the description a couple weeks ago, and that's probably the one I'll include in this one tonight.
Yeah, this is one of the recommendations that I haven't read yet. It was, like I said, recommended by fellow bookseller Nick, and I wanted to add it to this recommendation just in case, you know, just in case there are folks out there that don't listen to the full episodes like every week and like to listen to the mini episodes, especially the ones with recommendations, just so more people can hear about it, because I think that it sounds like a really cool series. So basically, it has robots, artificial intelligence, dystopian adjacent technological revolution, and just tons of queer representation. Something that I think is really interesting is the two volumes are broken up into point of view. The first one is from Alistair Sterling's point of view, who is the main character. And then the second book is from Brendan's point of view. Basically, Alistair is the man responsible for a robotic revolution, but he ends up dying super abruptly, and then just as abruptly wakes up one day in a new robotic body that he does not know how he got. Oh. And so he decides to track down his old partner, both romantically and in work, Brendan. And he finds that Brendan is now raising a teenage robot girl who looks a hell of a lot like Alistair. The series has a lot of queer representation, like I said, covering the spectrum of both cisgender queer people and transgender queer people and the different dynamics and relationships. And I think it's really cool, too, because as far as I understand, like, one of the robots is trans. And I think that that's such an interesting concept. Like, that I feel like
fascinating,
right? Like, I feel like I've never heard of someone like exploring that. Like, I feel like we always just like explore robots having humanity or morality, but not necessarily like gender.
I think that most sci-fi, like, I don't think it's addressed, but I think most sci-fi, even the robots are gendered.
Yeah.
It might be unspoken, but like,
I mean, like, I know that like Transformers does that a lot where they like, I know that there's like trans characters and like queer characters in Transformers in the comic series.
I didn't know that. That's fascinating. I always felt that it was just sort of like, there's probably a deeper thing to dig into here, but, particularly, like, the Star Wars droids all even seem gendered. They use
it's not, like, discussed, right? Like, it's not, like...
Yeah, it's not. It's, like, an unstated, like, well, C-3PO's a guy because he's voiced by a guy, because...
Who knows? Just because.
Because.
But, like I said, so the first volume, whether it's still in physical print or not, but it was released in two volumes as far as I understand, and the first one is from Alistair's point of view, sort of, you know, figuring out that, you know, he's a robot now and finding Brendan and all of the stuff that ensues from that. And then the second volume is following Brendan through that same motion of time. And I think it gives you a really beautiful in-depth look at like the complex character building and world building that Delaquante presents to us in the comic. And so, I mean, even if you can only read it online, I still think it's really worth a read for any queer sci-fi lover.
Yeah. I'm going to read this. This sounds fascinating. I love, I mean, the whole thing sounds fascinating, but I am particularly interested in this trans robot. I'm so fascinated by like the idea of consciousness and like identity and things like that as like a principle. And I think it's interesting to address and wrestle with those ideas in a construct that's not human.
Well, and the other thing that I think is really interesting, and it's really the last thing I want to say about this, since I don't know much about it, since I haven't personally read it,
yeah,
is that I think it's really interesting that they note that this trans teenage girl robot looks like Alistair. So like maybe Brendan was trying to like build a robotic version of his deceased lover and she ended up being trans. And I think that that's really interesting.
It's fascinating. I'm very excited to see how that goes. I'll check that out for sure. We'll talk about it at some other point, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then my last book recommendation is also unique in that I haven't read it because it is not out yet. And as far as I saw, we didn't get any advanced reader copies. I mean, they could have just already been like picked up, but I didn't see any available. It is Cemetery Boys by Aiden Thomas.
That title sounds familiar. I'm going to look it up and see if it's one that I've seen.
Yeah, so it's Aiden Thomas's debut novel. It is, as soon as I read the description for it, I just knew that I had to have it on a queer sci-fi and fantasy recommendation list because I already pre-ordered it. Like, I am absolutely ready for this book to come out.
I have seen this cover, but I don't think we got physical ones.
Okay.
Anyway, go ahead. Terrible today.
Shut up, Gary! Oh my god! Anyways, it follows the story of Yadril. I hope I'm saying that right. He is a Latino trans man who comes from a very traditional family background. And after coming out to his family and them being super disapproving, Yadril becomes determined to perform a ritual that validates his identity as a real brujo. For those of you unfamiliar, though I'm sure most people would know, a witch of like Latin roots is called a bruja. And yeah. So I believe a brujo is just the male equivalent to that. So he is, you know, dead set on trying to perform this ritual to, you know, validate his identity as a brujo, not only to himself, but also to his family. And with the help of a few of his close friends, the ritual is a success. They do it. And through it, Yadril summons a ghost. And it just so happens to be the ghost of a recently deceased fellow student, the resident bad boy, Julian Diaz. Great. So all Yadril wants is Julian gone after he summons him because he feels like it's a terrible mistake. But Julian has unfinished business on Earth, which I assume is what made him the prime target for this sort of ritual. And so Yadril has to help him set his, you know, unfinished business straight so he can move on peacefully. But as they, you know, go through this journey together, Yadril finds that he's less and less interested in getting rid of Julian at all. And it seems like it's going to be a very, very nice romance story, very unconventional, like a 2020 trans queer version of the movie Ghost.
Great.
So perfect. I'm down.
There you go. That's all we need.
And yeah, those are all of my sci-fi and fantasy recommendations. If you guys know of some that I didn't name that you really want, you know, to get more notice, send us an email with them and we'll be happy to read those in the next minisode.
Yeah, absolutely. I I mean, I don't know. I don't have a lot of, like, queer fantasy stuff, but for people who prefer, well, not for, of all of the, I recommend this book all the time, and it's hard to, like, approach and be like, oh, you should read Ruin of Kings by Jen Lyons, because I recommend it all the time. But, as someone who read a lot of, like, epic fantasy, like, traditional, like, big quest fantasy stories, growing up, I think the Jen Lyons stuff does more for, like, queer representation than any other fantasy series that I've read. Memory of Souls comes out in August, and I don't know what the date of release for that particular book is, but, does more, even more, just leans even harder into the, like, queer representation that has been happening across the series already. And so I'm, like, really excited for people to get their hands on this new book, but on the series in general, because I don't feel like it's something that happens enough in, like, big fantasy.
I absolutely agree. Guys, please, for the love of God, read this book so Gary can stop recommending.
I will never stop recommending it. It's great. There's still two more books to come out.
Well,
so
I mean, we'll, you don't have to recommend it if we get everybody to read it, right?
I suppose, but everybody needs to read it.
Every single person in the whole world needs to read this freaking book.
You need to read it. I swear to God. Because what'll happen is you'll read it, and then you'll be like, no, wait, everyone actually has to read this book.
It is in my to-be-read pile.
I know. It's big also, and it's the beginning of a new, like, a five-book series. Like, it's a whole thing. But still.
There's so many good books in the world.
There's so many good books. Are you reading anything else right now other than Gideon the Ninth?
I am not. I've been very busy with a secret project for the store that I can't talk about yet, but it is taking up all of my free time.
Secret project. That sounds fun.
Yes. It is fun. Excited
for that. I also have not really been reading anything. I haven't been reading anything new. I'm not even going to pretend I've been reading anything new. I
appreciate your honesty.
Yeah, I'm still pushing through the Blades in the Dark RPG book because I have an increasing number of people that are interested in maybe playing a game with me, so that'd be cool.
Yes, I'm down.
So I'm reading that, and then I keep meaning to get back to the plethora of audiobooks that I'm halfway through, but I haven't done it yet. So maybe by this time next week, I will have started one of those books again to finish them soon.
Well, here's hoping. I feel like there's just something, like, in the air. I don't know if it's just, like, San Diego June gloom at its finest, but, like, I feel like a lot of, like, people have not been in the reading, like, headspace lately.
You know, it's weird you mentioned June gloom. It has not been as, like, cloudy and rainy as I would expect it to be this time of year.
I feel like today, like, well, not right now. It is pretty sunny where I am right now, but, like, the past couple days have been pretty gloomy and humid.
Sure. I don't go anywhere, I barely leave my apartment.
That's
stay
good.
Inside, wear your masks, just because they say quarantine
wear your mask
doesn't mean we're safe.
You're right.
Okay, all right. You want to wrap us up?
I guess I should wrap this up so we can go sleep.
I'm
forever.
Sorry I interrupted you or, like, whatever. I missed talking to... I'm going to interrupt you to tell you I'm sorry I've been interrupting you. I don't talk to a lot of people during the week because, like, I'm secluding myself even from my roommates because I know that, like, they've been back to work. And so I don't talk to a lot of people during the week. And then I talk to you and I'm like, I just want to talk for hours.
Gary, I'm just going to start calling you randomly and forcing you to talk.
Oh, please don't do that. That's worse, actually.
No, I wouldn't. I would never do that. Nothing is worse than someone calling you and you're just like, what?
Unprompted, my phone is ringing and I'm like, what? Becca, I love you, but why are you doing this to me right now?
I have a friend who always texts me, or like, she'll be like, can I FaceTime you? Or she'll just randomly FaceTime me. And if I answer, ooh, she's like, I just called to see if you would answer.
Wow. See, that's the thing is, like, I would be fine if you, like, text me first and was like, hey, I'm going to call you in 10 minutes. That gives me enough time to, like, okay, sure, let's talk on the phone.
All right. So, thank you to our listeners for dealing with us and loving us and putting up with Gary constantly interrupting me.
I apologize. I love you, Becca.
I love you too, Gary. As always, please check out the shop link on our website to pre-order all of the books we discussed. The link for the shop and the link for basically all of these books we have is down below, as always. We want to say thank you to Austin Farmer for the use of our theme music. It's cut from his song Kill the Farm Boy off of his album Bookshelf Symphony Orchestra. You can find it on Spotify also below. You can find me on Twitter at Becca Bean, B-E-E-A-N. I think I put too many E's the first time. So Becca Bean, or on Instagram at Becca B. That's B-E-C-C-A-B-E-E_. Gary, where can they find you?
People can find me on Twitter at TheGaryRoby, R-O-B-Y for Roby. I don't plug like the other podcasts and stuff that I do super often, but you can find the shows that I've done, Harry Potter Minute and Ferris Bueller's Minute Off, on duelinggenre.com. And if you subscribe to their Patreon for $1, you can listen to me do Scott Pilgrim Minute over there as well.
Yeah, I subscribe and I listen to the Scott Pilgrim Minute. I really like that show.
It's so fun. We were so much better when that show started than we are now, because now we literally show up unprepared and it's like, let's just hang out for 20 minutes or an hour or however long we're going to record for.
Gary, you're giving away the industry secrets.
I think that's a different kind of podcast. This one I could never just do unprompted.
No, we would be killed by our manager.
Yeah, it would be bad. Yeah. Kelly would be whereas that one is like a lot more loose feel, but we're still talking about that movie, Scott Pilgrim versus the World, 1 minute at a time. We just recorded, I think by the time this goes up, like minute 70 or 71, which is the fight between Scott and Todd Ingram, who has
so his... good.
Yeah, we literally just recorded, I think the episode that just went up this weekend was the episode where Todd gets his vegan powers taken away because he drank half and half.
Yes, that is the episode.
If you haven't seen this movie, that description is ridiculous, but still. Please go pick that out. I love that show so much. I'm so glad that I could be part of that with my friends. So,
do it. It's $1. Support Gary and his friends.
Please.
And also support us. You can email us questions or pictures of your dog or book recommendations that I didn't list for these different LGBT genres. Podcast at mistgalaxy.com. The email will be in the description as well. And to find out more news about upcoming events and new releases, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Mist Galaxy Books. And we will see you guys again real soon in a galaxy not so far away.
We